2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 8.
Therefore,
being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Let us ask our God to bless the preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we pray that You would bless the preaching of Your Word. Bless the person who is preaching, that he may preach correctly. And bless all of us who are hearing of Your Word. By Your work in us, let us understand and know and believe Your Word. Let us hear the loving voice of our Lord Jesus Christ through His Word as we hear His Word. And Father, we pray that You would cause us to grow in our faith, and with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ through our lives, through everything that we do. Bless us, and we pray that You will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are looking at chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. And we finished up to verse 5 last time, so let us read verse 6 and 8 once again. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Verse 6 starts out with this phrase, therefore. Thus, we must look at the previous verses and remind ourselves what Paul has said in those previous verses. Well, to sum up in what Paul says in verses 1 through 5, we do live our lives with hope of resurrection. The confidence and witnessing of the resurrection of the dead. And the person who prepares us for this very purpose is our God, who gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge. And the Holy Spirit gives us faith to believe. Therefore, we are of good courage always and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we are of good courage always, and by implication, prefer always. As Christians live their lives here on earth, they always, this is the point that Paul is making, not just rarely, occasionally, but Paul says always. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now Paul, by saying this, is not saying that Jesus Christ our Lord is not with us when we live our lives here on earth. Of course He is with us. He is always with us. He is the Emmanuel God. He lives us through the Holy Spirit. But here, in this verse, being with the Lord is much more perfect than how He is with us right now. It is being with the Lord face to face. It is being with the Lord as we are able to love Him perfectly. being with the Lord as our love is not divided for anything else than the Lord Jesus Christ. It is being with the Lord without sin. It is being with the Lord without this world. While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we live our lives here on earth, that kind of being with the Lord is not yet consummated. Thus, we prefer always rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Paul does not say, I do not know how you are or how you think, but I prefer. He doesn't say that. Paul says, we prefer. He says it as a matter of factly. We all prefer. We always prefer. Not just few Christians, not just one or two Christians, not just super Christians, but all Christians prefer this. This is what Paul is saying. This is the chief desire of all Christians. We want to be with our Lord Jesus Christ face to face as quickly as possible. No, we're not saying that this life here on earth is not important. We're not saying that. Life here on earth is very important. And we must live our lives fully. Fully devoting it to the glory of God. God gave us all kinds of tasks to do. And we must do that very well. And we must not be lazy. But the fact of the matter is that we prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Now, when the world hears this, I mean, you understand what they're going to think. This is so stupid. What, you guys want to die so that you could be with the Lord? Is that the chief desire of your religion? Yes. Once you understand love, you understand what he's saying. You know, being a Korean, I know many Koreans, obviously. And I'm sure it will be the same as Vietnamese, too. Many young Koreans who grew up in the States, they go back to Korea to get married. And I know this person, this guy who went to Korea and got married. But because of visa, that only he was able to come back to the United States, and he had to come back because he had to work. But the wife, new wife, that whom he really, really loved, couldn't come back with him. She had to wait until visa came out. So here he is all alone waiting for his bride to come to him. Guess what? I mean, you could probably picture in your mind what kind of life he lived. The whole life was focused on waiting for her to come so that they could be face to face. That was his chief desire. If you truly fall in love with somebody, you will understand what this is. And Christians, we are in love with Christ. This is what being a Christian really means. Now, you might have all kinds of different ideas of what being a Christian really means, but understand, it's all about love. Loving your Lord, Jesus Christ. That's what Christians do. We love Him. And there's nothing in this world that will hinder us to go see Him, go to Him, to be face to face with Him. There's nothing that would hinder us to do that. To be at home with the Lord. This is the purpose of Christianity. Why did God save all these people? For what purpose? So that they will be with Him. That He will be with them forever and ever. And that's what Jesus Christ is all about, actually. If you could think, you will, you know, I don't want to say imagine, but in your picture Jesus, let me put it like that. Jesus is God, but at the same time man. He is the union between God and man. He is the reality of God being with man. He Himself is that reality. So when you look at Jesus, you cannot deny God being with man, or man is able to be with God. There you go. Here's the proof that we are able to be with God in Him. And this is purpose of everything. Being with God forever and ever in that glorious place, our eternal home, heaven. This is the purpose of all of God's redemptive history. This is the purpose of all our God has done and now doing and will do in the future. This is what is the purpose. His people. Being with God forever and ever. Yes, God gave us many tasks to us as we live our lives here on earth, and we must do them diligently. But ultimately, everything has happened and will happen for this very purpose. God being with His people. God and His people are together in the heavenly fellowship forever and ever. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21 through 23, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose, but I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better." Look at what he's saying. If I still live, continue to live, it will be good for you. Because I am here working with you, and you will benefit from my ministry, and I will have a fruitful labor. But what I prefer more, which is far better, is that I depart and be with the Lord. Yeah, obviously, Paul would not commit suicide and go see the Lord. No, he understands that it is pleasing to his Lord that he finish his work here. And he will do that diligently. But he prefers to be with the Lord. I mean, Understand this, brothers and sisters. What if your husband goes to work every day? And he has to work. Obviously, he has to work. He has to make money. But he tells you every day, I'd rather be with you. I prefer to be with you. And you would feel pretty good about it. But what if he just don't care? He doesn't prefer to be with you. Then what? How would you feel? How would God feel that you don't prefer to be with him? That you would rather do something else or be with somebody else, even though he loves you with his life. You don't prefer to be with him. And this is what we're talking about. See, even in human level, you understand what Paul is saying. And yet when it comes to your Christian life, man, it sounds so foreign. What do you mean I want to die and go be with my Lord? Well, but no. Do you really love him? Is he the most important person, the most important thing for you? Or you rather do something else and you rather be with someone else? That is the question. Because for Jesus, he prefers to be with you. And he is with you. And he is waiting for your arrival so that you and him be face to face. Whenever we pray, come Lord, come quickly, we are praying for this very purpose. This is our focus, being with and living forever with our God. This dictates all things for us. We do everything in terms of this desire being fulfilled. And doing this, doing that, is to be like God. This is exactly what our God has done. God's purpose was and is and always will be being with us, his people. This is the ultimate desire of God. This is God's focus, being with you. This is what dictates God. God with his people and his people are with God. God loving his people perfectly forever and his people loving God perfectly forever. This is the meaning and the purpose of heaven. This is the meaning and the purpose of our lives. And this is the meaning and the purpose of all that God has done and accomplished through his redemptive history. Psalm 73 verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. This is our confession. And here is amazing grace of God. A sinner cannot and will not prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. That is impossible. And we see Paul confessing that, and we see the amazing grace of God. Because no one is able to confess this unless God loved him first. Amazing grace of God. And I am certain that if you are true Christian, God will make you confess this without fail. He will. And that's what we trust. Just being able to say this with our hearts is the clear indication that His grace has come upon us, that His grace has touched us. And here it says, being always of good courage. This shows also how much grace has been poured upon us, His people. For a sinner, meeting with God is not a good thing. It is eternal death. It is eternal judgment. When sinner meets God, then he dies forever. It is terrifying experience meeting with God. But here, Paul says, we are always of good courage. Why? Because God has given to us the Holy Spirit as a pledge. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us this courage. He makes us know and believe in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that our Lord Jesus Christ has bore our sins and died on the cross for us instead of us. And we also believe that our Lord Jesus Christ has lived that perfect life, a life without sin, for us and instead of us. And through our faith, God has imputed to us the righteousness of Christ. And in Christ, God has called us righteous in His sight. Thus, we have the boldness to approach God without fear. We are always of good courage. In Jesus Christ, we are righteous in God's sight. But we must believe in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Do you see this? Our courage, our boldness comes from Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 to 20, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. Tearing of His flesh on the cross, that is the image of the way being open. Way to whom? Way to God. And we have this courage through the blood of Jesus Christ. And here we are, worshiping our God and confessing with our own mouth. We prefer rather to be absent from our body and to be with the Lord. You are blessed people of God. Can you just see what would happen? Non-Christian come and hear this kind of stuff. What's going on? Are these people crazy? Yes, Paul says, even if we're crazy, we're crazy because of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're crazy about Jesus Christ. And we're not ashamed to say that. Because nothing matters more to us than Jesus Christ. And this is what our religion is all about. Well, in between verse 6 and verse 8, we find verse 7. Wow, that's deep. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, she starts out saying that if I am present in my body, I'm away from the Lord. But he continues that thought in verse 8. So verse 7 is like a parenthesis, you know. He finishes his thought, he started in verse 6 and finishes in 8, but in 7 he says, but we walk by faith, not by sight. As long as we live our lives here on earth, we know that we are absent from the Lord. That is why we live by faith. Why? Because we cannot see our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot see our eternal home, heaven. Thus, we live by faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, nobody saw Jesus Christ, nobody here. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of joy, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. It's all about faith, because everything that we say we believe, we cannot show. We cannot show Jesus to anybody. We do not even see him. Thus, Christian life is by faith, not by sight. Because if by sight, then there's nothing we could say about Christ. We don't see him. There's nothing we could say about heaven because we don't see heaven. But it's by faith. It's by believing. Believing what? What God has told us. Believing his Bible. Believing Jesus Christ. Yes, we must live by faith. Why? Because Jesus and heaven are not visible at this time. And notice from verse 7, and this is very important. What is the opposite of living by faith, according to that verse? The opposite of living by faith is living by sight. Living according to what we see now, meaning living according to the world. World we see. And if we live by the standards of this world, what this world says good life is, then we are living by sight, not by faith. You know, this is not hard. Unless you're sleeping, then go, what are you saying? I didn't get it. But if you follow me, this is not hard. This is not difficult to understand. The opposite of living by faith is living by sight. Living according to this world. Living according to what you see. The false teachers, Paul speaks of false teachers in chapter 5, verse 12. We are not, again, commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. Do you understand? This world is all about the appearance. That's what it's all about. They live according to this world, according to what is visible, according to what the world says what success is all about. But if you live by faith, all those words take different meanings in Jesus Christ. See, the world, it does not care about what is invisible. They do not care about heaven. In fact, living according to what is not seen is foolishness to the world. But brothers and sisters, we are a foolish people according to this world. How can you believe something you don't even see? I mean, how can you be so certain? You don't see it. You don't touch it. You're not even able to smell it. What are you talking about? Because all they know is what is seen. What they could touch and what they could smell and what they could feel. You know, that's it. That's all they're about. Christians who are foolish, according to this world, we're all about faith. We're all about what is not seen. What do you think is smarter? The wisdom of the world or foolishness of God? One day, everything that we talk about will be visible one day. When Jesus returns, everything we talk about will be visible. And then, everyone will know the truth. But you're so blessed. You already know the truth. You don't have to wait until His return. You already know. Or to you? No. We live by faith. This has been already said in chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Like we said before, Jesus and heaven is not visible, thus living center on Jesus and heaven must be living by faith. Do you see that? Because Jesus and heaven is not visible, life center on Jesus and heaven must be living by faith. There's no other way. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there are two kinds of people in this world, according to this verse. One live by faith and the other live by sight. One lives centered on Jesus Christ and heaven. The other lives centered on self and this world. One live according to the reality of heaven. The other live according to this world. But you and I, we live by faith. Paul tells us clearly, we live by faith. We live in between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live in between spiritually already accomplished and the visible consummation. In between already and not yet. Thus, we live by faith. All that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished is not yet visible. We live in a new era, an era in which the Holy Spirit is given as a pledge. That's why the Holy Spirit is given as a pledge. Pledge of that accomplishments. Because it's not visible. The Holy Spirit is given to you as a pledge. And that Holy Spirit gives you faith to believe. It is God pledging His pledge of all being already accomplished. Yes, even in the Old Testament, we seek the work of the Holy Spirit. We see the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was never given as a pledge in the Old Testament. Official coming of the Holy Spirit must happen after the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, cannot happen before His death and resurrection. It must happen after His death and resurrection. Because it is a pledge of what God has already accomplished. what God has already have done for you. Yes, we live in the new era in which the Holy Spirit has been given as a pledge. Heaven has already begun. It is an era in which faith has come. Now, this does not mean that Old Testament people did not have faith. But just like when we say at the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, that doesn't mean that in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit did not come. But we say Holy Spirit came on the Pentecost. What do we mean? It's official, based upon what Jesus has accomplished in God's redemptive history, is epoch. You know, new era has beginning. And officially the Holy Spirit comes. Just like it, New Testament is new era in which the officially faith comes. Go to Galatians chapter 3 because I'm getting puzzling look on your faces. This is not my language. This is what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law. Now, Old Testament is described as an era in which the faith did not come. Look, before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. This is connection with the Holy Spirit given to us as a pledge. The new era has begun. The heaven has already been accomplished. Thus, we live by faith. Faith witnesses the reality of heaven. We do not gain this world by our faith. Oh, okay. You got to listen to this. You know, we hear of all these Christians, because their faith is so great, God bless them with all these worldly things, you know, so they're rich and they're healthy. No. There are non-Christians who are more rich and more healthy than those Christians. We do not gain this world by our faith, but by faith we hope and believe and witness the reality of heaven. By faith we do not gain this world, but by faith we overcome the world. Understand? We know that living by faith is hard. There are so many temptations in this world, but we must remember that this world will be completely destroyed. It is not eternal, it is temporary. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let me end my sermon here. Let us live by faith and let us overcome this world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We must continue to seek our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Remember, God gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge. Thus continue to trust our Lord and walk by faith, not by sight. Let us live the Christ-centered and heaven-centered life for the glory of our God. Brothers and sisters, I keep telling you, I feel like you are the endangered species. True Christians who would forsake this world and seek His kingdom. not using our religion to gain this world, but by faith overcoming this world. Let us live by faith, not by sight. For this is what our lives are all about. Yes, we want to go to God as soon as possible. We want to be with the Lord. But until God calls us, let us live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. Bless us with the knowledge of your Son. By your grace, let us live by faith, not by sight. Always preferring to be with you, but at the same time, desire to live our lives here on earth for the glory of God. Until you call us, we are satisfied with our lives in which you use to bring glory and honor to yourself. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.